I love that song, Trust and Obey. And I have so many songs that I know and that I go to that take me back. And you may have a song like that too that takes you back. And for me, Trust and Obey takes me back to when I was a kid at the First Baptist Church in Eden, North Carolina, the town that I lived from when I was 5 years old to 15 years old. And then I reflect on what God did in my life while I was there as a kid. I got to see my dad come to faith in Christ. I myself came to faith in Christ. God used so many people to affirm a calling that he gave me to vocational ministry. And so I love that song. And that song is what we're going to talk about today, trust and obedience in Christ. And so and in the Lord. And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. And as you're turning there, trust is very difficult, right? It's often said that trust takes a long time to build. And then when trust is lost, it's even longer to rebuild that trust. And so trust is hard. It's difficult. And if you need a visual for that, I have this video for you to watch to just let you know and let you see how difficult and how hard trust is. Take a look at this.
Count to three. Count of three. Then you just come straight back. Just keep your back straight.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Three. I trust you. Now we gotta do it again.
One, okay, two, okay, three. I trust you.
One more time. Watching that video from 7 years ago when I had a lot more hair on the top of my head and Jonathan didn't, still gives me the creeps. Still get like really like, but that's to show you, trust is hard. Trust is difficult. But here's the awesome thing. The Bible tells us how we can always trust in the Lord because of who he is, because of his love for us, and because of his faithful promises. So as I was praying over this message, and I truly have been wrestling with this over the last couple weeks, I asked God, God, give me the words to speak. Give me some sort of visual. And it started with a mountain, okay? And then Thursday morning, I was talking to Pastor Derek, going over the sermon, just kind of asking for his feedback and things like that. And I looked at the door in his office, and I saw a hinge, and then it hit me. I was like, oh, my goodness. Trust is the hinge to the door that leads to the path of wisdom that God has for us. So today, as we look at Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to talk about what true trust means. Because we can't fully open this door and be led on the path of wisdom until, first, we have the fear of the Lord. We talked about that last week and then the week before, which comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, turning from our sin, trusting in him for salvation, which it's really cool that this door here just happened to be red, which we can say represents the blood of Jesus, which leads to the fear of the Lord, which then allows us to do a couple other things as well. And they are, and we're going to talk about them today, we're going to rely on the Lord and not on ourselves. We're going to see that today. We're going to rely on the Lord. Uh-oh, here we go. All right, we're going to rely on the Lord and not our own ways. We're going to talk about that today because all of this goes together, because what we're going to see here is that this door actually represents obedience to the Lord. We're also going to know him in all of our ways. We're going to know him in all of our ways, and then we're also, that leads us to follow him. We're going to follow him. We're going to have a fellowship of the Lord. And so all of this put together, all right, when all said and done, and we'll come back to this at the end of the sermon, is great, all right? All of this stuff on this door is great, but until I fully trust God and trust the hinge, that door will open properly and will lead me on the path of wisdom that we'll see God clears and makes for us. So, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, and if you have the Word of God and you're able to stand, I'd love for you to stand in the honor of God's Word, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6 at first and kind of go through those, but then we'll go through verses 1 through 4 and verses 7 through 10, and we'll see how they fit within Proverbs 5 and 6. So, hope it'll be a blessing to you. Pray that it'll be a blessing to you. But here's Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading from this morning the Christian Standard Version of the Bible. It says, "My son, don't forget my teaching." Remember, this is Solomon speaking and writing to his son. But more importantly, church, I want you to realize this is God sovereignly writing through Solomon for us, his children, today. "Don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days of full life and well-being. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard with God and with people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him and he will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, I pray today that you would push me aside, Lord. Use me as an instrument of your righteousness, God, a mouthpiece for your people today. God, I pray that you would just begin stirring within our hearts today as we dive into this scripture, Lord, and as we unpack what it means to truly trust you, to truly rely on you, to truly know you, and to truly follow you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's look at verses 5 and 6 just really quickly and go through those. So the first thing we're going to see today is we're going to see that we trust the Lord with all of our heart. Trust the Lord with all of our heart. Trusting actually leads to obedience. And when we trust the Lord, it requires a transformative faith. And this transformative faith is full dependence on Jesus, not just simply mentally acknowledging him or knowing facts about Jesus. It's truly trusting in him and depending on him. This means trusting God in everything, with everything, and through everything. It's giving God complete control. Paul writes this in Romans 11:36. He says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, God, be glory. Amen." This faith is transformative in that it changes us. It transforms us from the inside out. See, what happens when we trust Christ for salvation, this internal revival starts to happen. This growth starts to happen within us. And what happens with internal revival, you can't keep it in. So it just naturally comes out of you as you are sent each and every day to where God sends you. As you daily live your life, your internal revival is just overflowing as you trust, rely, know, and follow the Lord. See, this is where it starts for us. It starts with the gospel. It starts with trusting Jesus for salvation, which then leads to the fear of the Lord, a right and reverent and awe-inspiring relationship with God. But here this morning, we all share one thing in common, and that is sin. Our sin separates us from God. And no amount of good stuff can get us fit for God's family. Our relationship with God determines our wisdom. We talked about that in Proverbs chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago. See, there's no way to walk in the fear of the Lord, and there's no way to walk through this door to on the path of wisdom unless we have a relationship with God. And this is why Jesus came. He came to deliver us from the sin in our lives. He was the perfect sin payment for us. And this is good news. This is great news that God sent Jesus to be the rescuer for sinners like me, like you, for the entire world. And when we, by faith, see our need for Jesus and see our sin for what it is, and we realize our sin and we realize what it is and that there's nothing that I can do to fix that, to take that sin problem away, God, in his grace, tunes our hearts and focuses our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. His death on the cross is payment for my sin. His death on the cross is payment for your sin. His death on the cross is payment for the sins of the entire world. But what's awesome is, church, God raised him 3 days later to claim victory over sin, to claim victory over death, to claim victory over evil. And guess what? He offers that same victory to you and me. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's where it starts. See, by faith, I turn from my old way of life and my old way of living, and I leave it behind. I leave it behind. I run away. I flee from it. And I walk in the new life that God has given me. I walk in the path of wisdom in which he lays out for me. Abundant life that only Jesus offers is the kind of life that Solomon writes about here in Proverbs 3 to his son. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. The second part of verse 5 says, not to lean on your own understanding. And in order to do this, in order to trust the Lord, we must rely or lean on him instead of ourselves. John Piper said this: this doesn't mean that we don't think or plan, but what it means is we don't bank on those things that we think or plan. And even though we think and plan for things, we don't lean or rely on those things. We lean on someone greater, and that is Jesus. Now, a lot of us, we tend to think, or maybe we have thought at one time in our lives, a lot of teenagers, okay, think this and struggle with this, that we know everything. I remember as a kid, my dad would have conversations with me, and I'd be like, whatever, Dad, I don't need to listen. I know everything. But then when I got to about 21, 22, 23, I realized, oh, my dad knew what he was talking about. And I had to, you know, go back and say, hey, Dad, I'm sorry, I should have listened. But now I realize that you actually were right and that you did know. But a lot of us, we think that we know everything. And Solomon himself is described as the wisest and smartest man who ever lived outside of Jesus. In 1 Kings chapter 4, we see that people even traveled from far and wide to come and just hear Solomon speak. And so if the wisest and smartest man that ever lived outside of Jesus is saying that we can't rely on our own knowledge and understanding, that's something that we need to think through. That's something that we ought to process for ourselves. Now, here's what he's not saying. Solomon is not saying that knowledge and understanding are bad things. He's not saying that at all. But what he is saying is that we cannot solely rely on those things as we go through life and as we walk in God's wisdom. What Solomon is also not saying is that it is not wise to seek the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of others. Okay? That's actually a good thing. But what he is saying is that we cannot rely solely on that wisdom, on that knowing, or on that knowledge and on that understanding of others. And if you need an example of that, go read the book of Job and see just how wise his friends were not, all right? But full reliance on Jesus will not fail us, because when we rely on Jesus, he reveals things to us that no book, that no blog, that no podcast can reveal to us, because he knows us and he sees our hearts. Now, he can use those things, absolutely. He can use those things and the wise counsel of others. Absolutely, he can. But he uses those things in order to point us back to himself. So when we rely on the Lord, we experience his love and live in confidence, his plans and his purposes for our lives. We also see that when we trust the Lord, it leads to sacrificial. And I added this word. This is not on your notes if you've pulled them up. I added this word late last night. It leads to sacrificial and praiseworthy obedience. We see this in Romans chapter 12. Paul writes that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true worship, our spiritual act of worship. When we do not conform to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. See, when we sacrificially obey, we worship God in our obedience, because as we obey the Lord and his commands, we see and experience how great and awesome he is. In the first part of verse 6, it says, in all of your ways, know him. Some of your translations say, acknowledge him. in a sense, this is what Solomon's saying. To know him in all of our ways is more than just intellectual understanding. It's to truly experience the Lord. Solomon's saying, hey, you can trust God because you know him. He proves himself over and over and over, and God does not fail. Remember the context. He's saying this to his son. God saying it to us. He does not fail. God knows that the more we know him, this is what will happen. The more we will trust him. The more we will love him, and the more we will share him. Why? Because we want others around us to experience God the way that we do. That's why we go and we tell and we share of the great and awesome things of the Lord. Because we know him, we trust him, we love him. And we want others to do the same. In the second part of verse 6, it says, and he will make your path straight. A path, think about a path. When you're on a path, you're moving from point A to point B. And God is saying in this, hey, point A is where you're at right now, but I have a great point B that I want to take you and I want to lead you to. The path that's mentioned in verse 6 carries the idea of God plowing a path and making a way for us to walk. It's the idea, if you're a football person, it's the idea of a lineman blocking and making a path for the running back with the ball. And as they open the lane, that running back has a choice. Hey, I can run through that lane and score a touchdown, or I can avoid that lane and maybe go my own way. And it's the same with us. God clears that path for us, but we have to choose. We have to consciously decide, hey, I'm going to walk the path that God has for me, or I'm going to choose my own way. Straight path. This is the path of righteousness that we see in Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. So that's verses 5 and 6, just a quick little overview. Now what I want to do is I want to take you back through 5 and 6, but show you how the Lord kind of showed me how verses 1 through 4 and 7 through 10 fit into these that help us unpack it more and help us live in obedience in the fear of the Lord. So our second point today is this, that we want to rely on the Lord, not ourselves. We see that in verse 5. So under that, we see that when we rely on the Lord, we humble ourselves and we turn away from sin. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, we see that Solomon writes, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is the idea of humility. You see, when we humble ourselves, our pride is laid aside and we are able to see evil for what it is and flee from it. When we do this, verse 8 says that it is healing to our body and strengthening. In the Hebrew, that word strengthening is literally medicine. It's medicine to our bones. Why? Because when we do this, we are not being controlled and our bodies are not being wrecked by evil and its desires, but rather controlled by God's grace, his love, and his goodness. Also, when we rely on the Lord, we honor him with what he blesses us with. Verse 9 says, honor God with your possessions. And here Solomon is saying, hey, all of our stuff, all of the stuff that we have comes from God himself. He blesses us with the good gifts that he has given us. And we're called to honor him as we are to be good and faithful stewards of what he gives. Psalm 67 tells us that God blesses us so that we can bless others in the name of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And when we do that, brings God honor. Brings him worship. That's the way we worship. Also, we see when we rely on the Lord, we are content with how and what he provides for us. Verse 10 says, then your barns will be completely filled. Now, this is what Solomon is not saying. He's not saying that if you do all of this, then you'll be rich and get all that you want. That's dangerous. We call that the prosperity gospel. And there are a lot of popular preachers out there that preach this gospel, that if you do this and do that, you'll get everything you want. Well, guess what? Prosperity gospel focuses on self, not God. How much can I do and how much can, in order to get as much as I want? No, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. It's not what Solomon's saying here. Instead, this is what he is saying. He's saying that God will continue to provide for us. Remember, he will not fail us. right? He proves himself over and over. He will not fail us. He's going to continue to provide for us. And because our reliance, as we rely on the Lord and not the stuff that we have, we are to be content. Why? Because we are fully relying on Jesus. We see Paul talk about this in Philippians. In Philippians 4, when he says that he has learned to be content in all things. Why? Because it is Christ himself who gives him strength. So as we rely on the Lord in our daily lives, the more and more we come to know him. That's number 3. We know the Lord in all of our ways. In verse 6, again, it says, in all your ways, know him. So under know the Lord with all your ways, we're going to talk about when we know the Lord, we experience a satisfied life. Why? Because our reliance, and remember, is not on the stuff of life, it's on the giver of life, Jesus. And because of that, we live a satisfied life. In verses 1 and 2, Solomon says, forget not my teachings. Don't forget my teachings. The Hebrew there for teachings is literally the Torah, the Old Testament law, the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We know the Lord through his word. Now, if you were to ask this question to people that maybe you work with or maybe even you live with or in your neighborhood, if you were to say, hey, what brings ultimate satisfaction in life for you? In today's culture, you'd probably get a bunch of different answers, right? A bunch of different answers. But for you and I as believers, what brings us ultimate satisfaction is rooting ourselves in a growing relationship with the Lord. See, when Jesus is the source of our joy, our lives are satisfied in him. We are then able to live a life of peace. That word peace there in some of your translations and even in the translation that I read from today, the well-being is translated shalom, peace, meaning a full and abundant life. And this is the same abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10 when he says, hey, guess what? The thief, the enemy, Satan comes to seek, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. And here's what that means. It means that we have abundant life. We have full life in Jesus and through Jesus right now while we're here on this earth. But then we also, hold up, have abundant life with him in eternity. Whew, that's the gospel. So Solomon emphasizes here letting our heart keep the Lord's commands. He says, write it on the tablets of your heart because we live out whatever's in our heart, right? We get passionate about things, and whatever we're passionate about, it just comes out naturally. For me, during college basketball season, it's Duke. It's Duke basketball, all right? Get really passionate about Duke basketball. Didn't have that this year, even though they would have won the championship this year, but that's another discussion for another day, okay? But whatever we're passionate about in our heart, we are moved to set that passion into action. We set it in motion. So when we know the Lord, we experience a life on mission. Because he then becomes the passion that's within us, right? Jesus himself is our passion. In verses 3 and 4, never let loyalty, or some translations say steadfast love and faithfulness, leave you. Tie them around your neck and write them on your heart. Here's what Solomon's saying. He's really giving his son, and God's giving us a picture of his own characteristics, of God's own characteristics, steadfast love and faithfulness. It's also the characteristics of Jesus as he lived this life, as he lived his life here on this earth. As followers of Jesus, this is how we are supposed to live also. In John 13:35, Jesus tells his disciples, you show others that you are my followers by the way you love him. Church, the world now more than ever needs to see us with steadfast love and faithfulness. What a message. If the church were to go out and live this out, what a message that would be to the world today. What could God do with that if we never let steadfast love and faithfulness leave us? Others must know that you love them. This is what Pastor Larry was talking about. And when others know that you love them, it sets us apart. We begin to look different from the culture. It must become a core part of who we are, both personality and character coming together to live in steadfast love and faithfulness and never letting that leave us. Faithful love is evidence of a transformed life, and the result is finding favor with God and with others. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 5, where he says we're to be imitators of love. As dearly loved children of God, we live a life of love just as Christ loved us. You see, the Lord's given us a mission to be a part of. That mission is to glorify him in all that we do. And as we do that, we make him known to the ends of the earth. So as we continue to know him in all our ways, we see that we have been deployed as his ambassadors, his messengers of reconciliation to the world. Like Derek and Pastor Larry said, like reconciliation has already been conquered. It's already been solved through Jesus. And we as the church, we as believers, then become the ambassadors, the representations of the gospel to the world and the messengers. We take that message with us as we're sent each day. So here's a daily prayer for us as the church. God, as you send me out today, would you please give me your eyes and your heart for lost people and use me to point others to yourself. We know the Lord. So as we rely on the Lord, as we know the Lord, we are then moved to follow the Lord. That's the last point. Follow the Lord through all of life. Now, I love that word all, because all means all, and that's all means, right? Not just part of your life, follow the Lord through all of your life. The good times, the bad times, the rough patches, the meadows, okay, if you will, right? All of life. See, we're going to see in verses 11 and 12 that we desire and delight in the Lord's instruction and his discipline, although it may be hard at times, because we know that the instruction and discipline of the Lord is purposeful for growth and maturing as a Christ follower. What we see through the Lord's instruction and discipline is love. And all of this is what directs us and makes our path straight. So when we follow the Lord under this, when we follow the Lord, we adore his instruction. We come to love his instruction because we know that there is purpose and direction in that instruction that leads us to where God wants us to go. That point B, right, that he has planned for us, that's how we get there. We adore his instruction. We can be confident that God will lead us to paths of righteousness because we rely on him, we know him, we follow him, and ultimately we have to trust him. Also, when we follow the Lord, we accept his discipline. Now, being disciplined is tough. I remember as a kid being disciplined. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it at all, but it was necessary for me in order to grow. Discipline is good for us. It helps remind us that we must continually humble ourselves, ask for forgiveness, then receive that forgiveness and continually be transformed by God's grace. We also see that when we follow the Lord, we admire his love and his delight. In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." Listen to this, Zephaniah 3:17. Love this. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord is among you. The Lord is with you, a warrior who saves." The NIV says, "Who is mighty to save," a warrior who is mighty to save. Ready? "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you," or "he will humble you. He will renew you in his love. He will delight in you with singing." Now hold up. God delights in us with singing. What a voice that would be. And as a believer, we get to hear that voice when we enter into eternity. When we're all praising God, he delights over you with singing. So throughout the rest of Proverbs 3, we see that there are personal benefits to following wisdom, but there are also neighborly benefits of following wisdom. And I encourage you to read the rest of Proverbs, maybe today or sometime this week, and see how all this fits together. So as we wrap up in everything that we've talked about today, all of this is pointing to obedience. It's all pointing to obedience that helps us grow in our fear of the Lord, which is my reverent, awe-inspiring relationship with him. That's where it starts. That then allows me to walk confidently on the path of wisdom in which he himself made clear for me. Now, of course, like we said before, none of this is possible without taking the first step of surrendering your life to Jesus for salvation. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that later in this service in just a few moments. All of this that we have talked about today is a result of salvation, which is confessing sin, accepting the free gift of forgiveness of sin, and receiving eternal life. This leads us to a life of fearing the Lord and fleeing sin. Now, we see evidence of trust in the Lord and surrender all throughout the scriptures. Think with me just real quick. Noah had to trust the Lord to make an ark and look foolish to his culture, but God used him in a powerful way. Moses had to trust the Lord to use him in spite of what he thought were shortfalls to lead the people out of Israel, out of slavery, out of bondage. He used Joshua and Caleb. They trusted the Lord that God would give the people of Israel the promised land, even when it was unpopular among their own people, simply because God said, hey, he's going to give it to them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted the Lord instead of the crowds around them to stand for what they knew was right in the eyes of the Lord, not bow down to that idol. And when they were about to be punished for what they did, they said, we trust in the Lord that he can save us. But even if he doesn't, that's okay. We still trust him above all. Peter, John, and the early church in Acts trusted the Lord in standing up to the religious elite, boldly sharing the gospel and enduring persecution, all while not praying for the persecution to stop, but rather they were praying for more boldness to share the gospel in the midst of persecution. Paul trusted the Lord as he was radically transformed by the gospel in which he once persecuted and lived a life on mission, seeing every opportunity, even when he was beaten and in prison, to share Christ and for the gospel to go forth. Even Jesus himself, y'all, had to trust the Lord as he prayed in the garden before being led to the cross. Father, if there's any other way this can happen, please take this cup from me. In the Lord's silent answer to that prayer, Jesus trusted, he relied, he knew, he followed the Lord and humbly submitted himself to the Father's perfect plan by saying, not my will, Father, but yours will be done. That is trust. Now, sure, you can say, yeah, Mike, you know what? I trust the Lord, but I only trust him when I need him. Yeah, Mike, I rely on the Lord, yet only up to a certain point. You say, Mike, I know Jesus. I know about him, but I don't have a relationship with him. And you can say, hey, you know what? I follow the Lord, but only to where I begin to feel uncomfortable. It is only when you fully trust, when you say, God, I fully trust you, can you live life in a way where you truly fear the Lord, where you truly rely on the Lord, know the Lord, and follow the Lord. And when that happens, it gets you to a point in your life where you're confident to take the step, extend your hand, turn the knob, and walk on that path. Now, here's what's awesome, okay? You know, Pastor Derek had the pack last week, right? As your supply pack, as you walk the way of wisdom. Here's what's awesome about all this right here. It doesn't just stay on the door. It goes with you. So, fear of the Lord goes with me. Trust in the Lord goes with me. Reliance on the Lord goes with me. Knowing the Lord goes with me. Fellowship of the Lord goes with me. And guess what happens? As I walk this path of obedience, this path of wisdom, I grow in all of these things. But hold up, guess what else? As I walk this path of wisdom, I don't walk alone. Guess who's walking with me? The Holy Spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, this verse has rocked me for the last couple years. It's Moses, all right? And the Lord, and he says, hey, I go before you, the Lord saying to Moses, I go before you, but hey, I also go with you. To me, that just blows my mind, that God can prepare a way, can level the path for me, but also as I'm walking the path that he's leveling for me, he's walking right with me. I can't humanly understand it, but I trust it because it's in the Word. So, I got the Holy Spirit with me. God's plowing my path. Got the Holy Spirit with me, but guess what else I have? I got my little Parkway family backpack here. I got a family that walks with me. I got a family walks. I got people that walk with me as I walk the way of wisdom, who encourage me, who pray for me, and we'll talk about in a couple weeks in Proverbs chapter 27, they sharpen me. And I need that. So, we're going to walk this path of wisdom. And as we do, we have to fully trust in the hinge of Jesus. I heard a pastor say this, and the team, worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. I heard a pastor ask this question one time. He said, is God a benefit of your life, or is he the point of your life? He went on to explain it like this. He said, we can put salt or sugar in things to make them taste better. And that is so true, right? Put salt and sugar. Oh, man, so good, right? But we would never just eat salt or sugar by itself. Now, we may have done that at one point for a prank or for a bet or something like that. You know, sometimes at camp we do crazy things. But we would just never eat salt or sugar by itself. The thing that we add to those things is the substance. And those are just additives to make the substance something that substance tastes better. See, many of us treat God the same way, as an additive to our lives to make our life better when we need it to be better. But God wants us to know that when we center everything in our lives around him, he then becomes the substance of our lives. So if you're here today, and you need to trust the Lord. You need to get to the point where you have a fear of the Lord so you can walk the path of wisdom that he has cleared out for you. We want to give you an opportunity to trust God for salvation today. Trust in Jesus today. I'll be up here to my right, your left. Pastor Joe will be in the back. We're here for you. If you're here today and there's something in your life that's distracting you, or there's something in your life that's in the way, keeping you from fully trusting the Lord, we invite you, even during this time, to lay that down so that you can fully trust, you can walk through that door that leads to wisdom. And if you're here today and you feel the Lord leading you to join our fellowship here at Parkway, we ask that you use this time to come and let us know that as well. We are here for you today. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. God, I thank you for your grace, mercy, and love. God, I thank you for, God, just your word and its truth. I thank you for using Solomon to write to his son, Lord, which in turn you're writing to us, God. May we walk in wisdom. Lord, may this time now be a time where we just focus on you and what you're doing in our hearts. Lord, may we respond. Whatever that looks like, whatever that is, God, we offer this time to you, praying that you get all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.